thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas as we're zeroing in on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Wanted to read to you a little bit of the Christmas story when the angel came to the shepherds. The message that the angel delivered, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus came for you and he came for me to save us from our sins. We have much to celebrate regardless of what's going on. We can rejoice in the Lord. Well, today on Real Truth for Today, we want to talk about what's going on in our country and what's going on with current events. And so I have a dear friend who has been such a blessing to Real Truth for Today and blessing to our country, and that is Dr. Rick Scarborough. He heads up Recover America, and he and I spoke after the election, and we talked about what it was going to be like with President Trump getting elected as the 47th president. And so we want to kind of finish up that conversation and talk about the things that have transpired between election night and today. So, Dr. Rick, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Pastor. It's good to be with you and enjoy being with your audience as well.
Well, thank you, sir. So, Rick, in the news today, lots of things have happened since Donald Trump was reelected. But the big thing in the news today is what's going on in Congress with the CR bill, the continuing resolution bill, 1,500 plus pages that was dumped on congressmen and women. Hey, you have less than 24 hours to go through this and let's vote on it so we can be home for the holidays. Pretty disturbing, and knowing that Mike Johnson was a part of that, what do you make about the jam job that was perpetrated on America?
Well, it's more of the same, Jeff. It really kind of squashes the euphoria of President-elect Trump and all the happiness and joy that he brought by sweeping that election. Then employing brilliant minds such as Elon Musk and Vivek, never can say Vivek's last name, so I won't
cry. Ramaswamy.
But say it for me, thank you.
Yeah, Ramaswamy.
Yeah, Vivek Ramaswamy. If I have it written in front of me, I can say it. But anyway, they took the time to read that sucker. Nobody else could, but they did, and started posting on X what it contained. And boy, it caused a backlash in Washington that Speaker Johnson and other Republicans weren't expecting. So they scrambled and cut that thing down from 1,800 pages to 120 pages. But then the Democrats did their Democrat thing. They voted against it. An unbelievable number of Republicans joined them to the shock of those of us out here in the flyover country had hoped had come to an end, but they joined in with the Democrats, and here we have the threat of another shutdown, and that's when bad deals are made. People scrambling, trying to get something done so they can get home for Christmas. Today's going to be an interesting day to watch.
Yes. Well, Jesse Waters has been faithful to expose what was in that bill. Here was something he posted on X. What's in the new monster bill Congress is rushing to pass? $850,000 for a gay senior home, $15 million to pay for Egyptians' college tuitions, $400,000 for a gay activist group to teach elementary kids about being trans, $500,000 for a DEI zoo, $400,000 for a group to give clothes to teens to help them hide their gender. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. What are we doing? We throw away money like it's trick-or-treat candy, and it's not. I mean, you know, I mean, to the government, $850,000 is just chump change. That's not chump change to an average American. That's a lot of money that you're putting in the shredder.
Well, and then there's the routine giveaways like Planned Parenthood that gets about $900 million a year from us. Half the country or more are completely opposed to their agenda, but they get the government money and kill babies. So we're all praying and hoping that the new DOES committee will, our DOES team will bring an end to this, but we're learning very quickly that it's not going to be as easy as perhaps we thought.
Well, you know, one of the things that Trump's first presidency showed us, Rick, was that the swamp is deeper and wider than anybody understood it to be. And so draining the swamp is not an easy task. How much do you think Trump can get done in these 4 years as opposed to his first presidency?
Well, what you just said was the bad news. The good news is now he knows where the bodies are. He has a real understanding of how deep that swamp is, and I think it may take us the midterms and to get some more conservative Republican congressmen elected, but I think that he will get far more done this time than he did last time. I think there are good days ahead after we get through this horrible situation we're facing right now and get this behind us. I think there are good days ahead. I'm encouraged.
Well, I was talking to Jay, my producer here in Texarkana, and I said, you know, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, seems like a good, godly guy, but it's just something about being in that environment. It's like living in a leprosy ward. It's pretty hard not to get sick, and you become part of the swamp creature. I know you've spent a lot of time in D.C. and dealing with those guys. How do you see that? Because it seems like we elect good people to go to Washington to make changes, but the changes are made on the person, not the entity.
Well, you've articulated well, Pastor. That is the challenge. When I was there, I spent, as I've said on your program before, a lot of my time trying to shore these good guys up, because after they're 2 or 4 years away from their family, and they're getting tarred and feathered by the left and the mainstream media, the good guys want to go home and just give up, and a lot of them have. And so what we've got to do as Christians is be a little smarter and wiser, know how to pray, apply grace toward these guys like Mike Johnson who are trying to do something right, and trust that they'll be successful over time. I mean, it's easy to forget that Trump, while he's influenced everything that's happened since the election, perhaps before, he's not the president yet. And so these 20-some-odd Republicans that joined the Democrats, they don't fear him yet. But I'll promise you, when he gets in power, I think that they'll soon realize their political career is dependent on supporting his policies.
Well, we can hope for that, because people are watching. You know, it was encouraging, Rick, when Elon Musk posted on X what was going on. That alerted a lot of people. Somebody posted, I don't know who it was, but they said, you know, it wasn't Elon Musk that stopped everything. It was Elon Musk that alerted the people. And then the people started calling their congressman, hey, what are you getting ready to do? And it kind of blew the lid off of the secrecy of this 1,500-plus page behemoth.
Well, that's exactly right. And he's going to continue to do that. Musk is he's a brainy guy. And it's a blessing and an answer to prayer that he has aligned himself with Trump's policies. Now, one of the things they're trying to do, as you know, I'm sure, is that the current attack philosophy is to refer to him as the president and Donald Trump as his vice president, trying to infuriate Trump so that Trump right. Distances himself from Musk. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think that President Trump is smarter than that. He learned a lot his first time around. He's not going to give in to those kind of veiled threats.
Well, I thought about that this morning, Rick, that they're trying to goad Trump into to doing some things that he wouldn't ordinarily do. They know that Trump can be, you know, he's proven in the past that if you hit him on some of those things, how big are your rallies, that kind of thing, he responds negatively. But I'm hopeful that he doesn't do that. Tapping into Elon Musk's brain power and his ability to see things and his ability to trim the fat as he has done at when he bought Twitter seems to me like that's a no-brainer. I mean, you got Michael Jordan right. that wants to play on your team. You put him in.
Correct. And there's as we saw in the revelations in the last 24 hours through Jesse Waters and others like him, there's so much low-hanging fruit to cut that he can be a star overnight. And I think Donald Trump will turn him loose to do that very thing. But the billions and billions and billions of dollars that we have to manufacture or borrow from China that we then turn around and give to groups that are antithetical to the mainstream values of America has got to stop. And that's all of our hope, is that these men will do that.
All right, Rick, I was watching a clip this morning from Mike Lee, the senator out of Utah. I want you to listen to it and then give me your thoughts on it.
Utah right. Senator Mike Lee joins me now. So you have an idea we're hearing. What is it?
I've got an idea. Look, Jesse, it wasn't Congress that did this. It was four people, four guys. I call it the law firm of Schumer, McConnell, Johnson, and Jeffries. This whole debacle was avoidable. It was preventable, foreseeable. In fact, it was foreseen and warned of. But these guys are falling into the same rut that they've been in for a long time, which is the firm, as I call it, negotiates a spending bill in secret, releases it just hours or days before we're supposed to leave for the Christmas holidays. And inevitably, it's full of garbage. And that's what happened.
Wait, so you're saying, hold on, just back up. So you're saying these four people, you're saying Jeffries, Johnson,
Schumer, McConnell, and Jeffries, the firm.
Okay.
They did this.
Okay,
this
McConnell
this
and Schumer, they cooked this up for the last 85 days in secret,
yes.
dropped
yes.
it on everybody Wednesday, and
yes.
this is where we are.
Yes. And it has failed. It's failed miserably because the American people are awake. They have access to X. They have access to Waters World. They have access to information and to apps that will help them quickly digest this information. This does not work. It's an historic moment. It's fallen apart. And as a result, somebody's going to have to lose their job over this. I don't think the speaker is going to remain in power. That's my prediction. I'm not in the House. If I'm correct in that, and I think I am, we need bold new leadership, outside leadership, and I think it needs to be a DOGE speaker. It needs to be either Vivek Ramaswamy or it needs to be Elon Musk. Look, I was over here a couple weeks ago, House and Senate Republicans for a DOGE caucus meeting. I've never seen, we're like, you know, herding cats, Republicans on Capitol Hill, never seen so much attention, so much respect for two people in our entire caucus in the Senate and in the House.
So you're officially nominating. Right here on Jesse Waters Primetime, either Vivek or Elon to be
yes.
House Speaker. Doesn't have to be a politician, could be anyone, can be Speaker. Do they want that job?
All right, Rick, that was Mike Lee, Senator from Utah, and he thinks that Mike Johnson's days are numbered because of this disaster. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm chagrined at the admit it, but I think it's correct. I think this was a blunder that he'll have difficulty recovering from. He is a longtime friend of mine, and I believe that his Christianity credentials are true and correct. He served with a legal entity that fought for our rights and stood. He literally was a champion of conservative values in the legal profession before he went to the House. And then I saw it as a miracle that he was elevated to such a high position, but he has handled it horribly. And this, I think that he's going to have a difficult time to remain Speaker of the House And that's a tragedy, too, because it just shows how in disarray the Republican Party is. We were supposed to be united this time 2 weeks ago. We were all trumpeting the fact that for the first time in years, the Republican Party was united and the Democratic Party was divided. But evil has triumphed over good because we gave them an avenue to do so.
Yeah, let me break in here, Rick. We're up against a station break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve will be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my good friend, Dr. Rick Scarborough, who heads up Recover America. Rick is an author and a Christian activist, former pastor, and just an all-around energetic, powerful, encouraging guy. He challenges evil. He's my kind of guy. He stands up for the truth. He takes the shots and keeps on going. And so, Rick, we were talking about the situation with Mike Johnson. I don't know Mike, but you do. And to me, seems like a genuine believer. But, you know, we've seen that before where genuine believers, I think about Jimmy Carter when he was president, you know, he didn't back down claiming that he belonged to Jesus Christ, but he didn't do well as a leader. So is that your take on Mike Johnson?
I'm not prepared. I wouldn't compare him to Jimmy Carter at all. I think that's
not fair.
This guy, yeah, his faith is real, and it's been demonstrated by his life, the way he's lived it. But it's hard for anybody outside of Washington who's never lived there to understand how much pressure is applied to these guys, and how difficult it is to get anything done.
Yeah.
He is to be held accountable for letting this thing once again wait till the very last minute, and the accusation of four CEOs getting in the back room and just kind of taping and pasting this thing together until it became a behemoth of money we don't have. He's got to pay for that. At some point, he's going to take full responsibility for that. But I would hate to see us go through another speaker change this early after the last couple of debacles that we've had, because it just dilutes the Republican Party and it just increases the ferocity of the left. These are battles we've got to start winning. And if it means that we approve this smaller version and in 3 months really put out a bill that we Christians and we voters can warm to and see progress, I think that would be the best thing for the country personally. I don't think firing the speaker is going to cure anything. We have to remind ourselves that the president is still not in power. He's a influential man in Washington, and he don't mind expressing his opinion and making phone calls and encouraging these congressmen to act. But these congressmen are not weak people. They have constituents back home, and these renegades, they fill their coffers with donations from people who say, hey, he's doing something. He didn't go with the majority, but he's only hurting the cause. I have a great affection and respect for several of these people who've come out, but at the same time, there needs to be more of a unified approach from the Republicans if we're going to make a difference in the next 4 years.
Yeah, well, you know, the big news too, Rick, is that where's Joe Biden in all of this? He is still the president. Trump has not been sworn in. But, you know, Joe's been AWOL for 4 years. And the Wall Street Journal seems to confirm the fact that, you know, we had a mentally diminished president. He was suffering from dementia or some form of that. And so the big question now would be, although you and I've talked about this before, who has been running the country? If Biden has to cancel meetings and has to keep them short and is not the Joe Biden he was 20 years ago, So who has been making all the decisions?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is his own wife, Jill Biden. I think she's more the president than he is right now, and then others who are staff members and people who sit in the background. They've been making those decisions, and that's frightening. And well, it's not frightening. We now are living in the consequences of it. So we see what happens when that is taking place. Our country is on the threshold of war around the world. The entire world is going up in flames because we haven't had a strong leader for the last 4 years. It's empowered radicalism in the Middle East. It's empowered Russia to begin trying to take over most of Western Europe. It's empowered the Chinese to try to take over the China Sea or move out into the China Sea. We are in a very, very dangerous time, and all of us need to brace ourselves for what the President Trump may have to face as soon as he gets there. There will very likely be a major challenge to his presidency coming from any number of sources, including this new coalition between China and Russia and Iran. And then also North Korea. That's a powerful coalition of evil. It rivals the coalition that was created in the 30s and early 40s, or the 30s before the war broke out across the world. I pray for God's grace in this transition time, but I fear that we may be facing some tough times. I remind my friends that Trump isn't in the White House yet. Any kind of calamity could take place with all these foreign nationals roaming the streets of America, many of them terrorists.
Yeah. Well, that brings up a good point, Rick. I think it's just by God's grace that America hasn't been attacked with weak leadership at the helm, or no leadership at the helm, really. It's only by God's grace that there hasn't been an attack within or attack from a nation without. But
yes.
What do you see Christians needing to do between now and November or January 20th, and then for the next 4 years? I think there's a sense that, well, we won, we prayed, God answered, we got the candidate that was going to be better for our country. But as you and I shared the day after the election, the work is not over. The work has just begun. So what do you see the challenge for Christians during this time period?
We've got to make sure that we don't follow the example of several professional football players who were charging toward the goal line only to spike the ball on the one-yard line. And that's kind of where we are. We can't spike the ball. We have more power than anybody on a committee. We have more power than anybody right now who's trying to pass these mock bills at the expense of the taxpayer, and that's prayer. Prayer is, when we get to heaven, I think, and our eyes are fully opened, one of the greatest regrets we're going to have is how little time we spent in prayer when it was so powerful and we neglected it. It's like having a nuclear arsenal and not being willing to use it when necessary. This is the time for Christians, godly men and women, to pray and intercede that the right continuing resolution comes through, that the right ultimate bill is passed, that the right appointments are made for committees, and that the Trump's people get approved, because we're now seeing the power of a coalition of a handful of Republicans and the United Democratic Party to thwart anything. So this is the time when we need to exercise the power entrusted to us, and that's to pray and intercede for the president and for his people.
Amen. That's definitely a good word. Rick, what's your take on the different ones Trump has nominated for these key positions? Pete Hegseth is one that's been in the crosshairs, Kash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard. Are you for those people?
Check, check, check. All of those folks will make powerful heads of those various appointments. I mean, they're the right people for the job, which is why they're being confronted so much by the left and they fear them so much. But these are brilliant people who are strong in character, and I think all of them will do the right thing. Pete Hegseth is a warrior's warrior. I think a lot of people were shocked because they saw him in through the eyes of Hollywood because of his tour of duty at night. Help me here with the word. I can't say Fox. I couldn't for some reason couldn't say that.
Right.
But his image of being a cool guy and funny and so likable kind of obscured who he was. I've read part of his book, The Warrior's Warrior. This guy was a warrior, and because of his experience, because of his personal commitments he's made to principled living, I think he'd make a great Secretary of Defense. But it was a shock to everybody when he was named. But I think all four of the people you named need to get through. The Republicans have to unite around them. And I've been proud of Pete for the way he's fought for the right to have that position. He didn't just fold when the criticism comes. He's proving he's a warrior even now, standing up to his critics and pursuing the office.
Well, he's made it clear that he's a follower of Jesus Christ, and that, yep. I think that's relatively new, isn't it?
No, I have actually communicated with him over the years about becoming a speaker at one of our annual fundraisers. We never were able to finally strike a deal, but he's been standing for Christ, and his resume reflects that for a number of years. And I don't know how far back it goes, but for at least 10 years, he's been walking with the Lord.
Is that right? Well, that's good to know. How about Kash Patel leading the FBI?
Buddy, he knows where the bodies are. I think that's the one that strikes the greatest fear in the lives of the radicals who've been in charge. I don't think he'll flinch. I think he's a courageous man, and I think he's a great choice for those who've done the right thing, and a fearful choice for those who've done the wrong thing, and that's a lot of people in Washington.
Rick, if the Department of Government Efficiency, as it gets going with Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, you're going to have lots of people losing their jobs and whole departments being slashed and cut. I mean, you can't cut billions of dollars without affecting jobs. How do you see that playing out in D.C.? I mean, I would think the liberal media is going to paint Trump as a dismantler of the nation, and you know he's going to make us weak, and you know all these things that they will say. How do you see that in your mind?
It's going to require courage and determination, but I think these men have that, and they got, as long as they have the backing of the president in those cuts, there'll be more and more people out here in flyover country who will be voicing their approval. And I think the Republican Party will grow during this time if they go come through. You know, there is no way to eliminate a $36 trillion debt. I hear 36 to high as $38 trillion. There's no way to balance that budget unless the economy just comes roaring back and revenues flow in. But you can't flow that much revenue in less than 20 years. And holding the line that long will be extremely difficult. And there's also the fact that Jesus may come any day. But the point is that empty some of those buildings, sell the real estate, and then go out west and divide some of these vast acreages we have in national parks and sell it for private industry or let private individuals then purchase it. We've got enough property and land and buildings that don't need to be occupied to sell, that we could raise trillions of dollars if they had the determination to do it. And I think Elon Musk has proven that he has that determination. Now, that would create incredible backlash through the press and others, but that's the only way I see that we get there, is start selling off these public buildings that are full of waste and full of people who don't love America, they just love themselves.
Mm. That's exactly right. Rick, do you think we're ever going to get to the place where we have term limits on these congressmen and senators?
Well, that's a tough one, and I'm conflicted by it because I think of some of those great, consistently conservative men that I'd hate to get in there and then lose. Louis Gohmert, who walked away because of all the junk they had to put up with, almost said the C word on that. But I had to encourage him just about every day, stay the course, Louis. You're one of the cleanest, most upright men in Congress. But he got sick and tired of reading the reports back home of what a hick he was and all the wrong things he did and the attacks that were insidious. You know, and I remind elected officials of this all the time, that if your opponent will abort a baby, if he's willing to go in and rip to shreds a fetus in the womb of a mother, and he supports that, then nothing else he does is a stretch. So the left can lie, they can steal, they can line their pockets. They have no conscience about that. Their conscience was seared when they started killing babies. And that makes it difficult for the righteous congressman to live through it. But straight up answer your question, I think getting to term limits, you're asking people to give up their own jobs. I don't think we'll ever get there apart from some grassroots movement that just rises up and requires a vote, and we do it that way. The congressmen are not going to end their careers prematurely. They like to stay there and camp out. Once you get elected, getting reelected is a relatively simple thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the desire to stay in power seems to really cloud people's judgment. They quit doing what's best for the people, and then it becomes all about me and re-election and that kind of thing. But you're exactly right. Louis Gohmert was great in his time there, and Nathaniel Moran, a guy that I know that took his place, also a strong believer. So we want guys like that to stay in. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve talking to my friend, Dr. Rick Scarborough. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, give us a call.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my good friend, Dr. Rick Scarborough. We've been talking about current events. We've been talking about the CR bill and what's going on Capitol Hill and the disaster that was the 1,500-plus page behemoth that got voted down. And they're trying to come up with something else, but it is quite the mess right now in government. And Joe Biden, not a surprise, Joe Biden's last days, the guy's been AWOL, really, as far as mental acuity for the last 4 years. Wall Street Journal even admits that. And Rick, one of the things, we didn't even talk about this, but the lies that have been told by the Democrats regarding, and the media regarding, Joe Biden's mental acuity, Kamala Harris saying he's always so sharp in all these meetings. Well, that's just not true. And everybody knows it's not true. And now even the Wall Street Journal is saying that obviously wasn't true. How do you put that together? I mean, just everything coming out of their mouth. You know, if you lie to me once and I catch you bold-faced lying to me, I don't believe anything you say.
It goes back to what I've said a couple of times in your program. If you'll kill a baby, nothing else is a stretch. We have got to understand that these people are liars. Their father is Satan, who is the father of lies, and we've got to deal with them in light of that. And that means that we don't believe a word they say. We watch what they do and respond to that. We have a Christian responsibility to be Christ-like in our rebuttals and in our responses. But I would go back to Jesus said, you're the former, you're against me. Well, these people who choose abortion over life, who take the very precious gift of God, plant it in the safest place he could find, the womb of their mother, and then rip it out a part at a time, reassemble it over on a table to make sure they got all the parts, and then take the usable organs and so forth and sell them on the open market. And that's what we're dealing with. And they vote themselves raises. They vote the treasuries for these ungodly groups like Planned Parenthood. They're stealing money from the American people. It's time for a little righteous anger to rise up among us and do something about it. That's why I pray that the Republican Party doesn't splinter to pieces before Trump gets in place. I pray that God will keep his hand on Elon Musk, and that one of these days he'll be saved and give his heart to Jesus. But that incredible mind is doing the right thing, and he's at this point in time a gift that can enable us to cut the budget, get rid of the waste, sell some buildings, and hopefully start moving toward a balanced budget.
That would be great. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or comment for myself or Rick, we'd love to hear from you. And we have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, guys. Rick, I love your speaking style. I love your thoughts. Listen, we've had Mike Johnson on the station many, many times. We've heard his promises. And, you know, we have to love him as a brother, even in his failings, but we hope to restore him. I don't understand it. I don't know why he's gone dark. I don't know why he would support a bill like this. You know, maybe we have to pass the bill so we can learn what's in it, you know? I mean, no joke, though. We have to restore him. We have to get into his head, bring him to the table. He's asked for our support and our ear so many times, and we've given it, right? We have not denied him the airways or anything, and we you know, he's helped support Trump and get him into office. Okay, that's great. But now look what's happened. You know, I know we're supposed to forgive 70 times 7 or even, you know, even more endlessly. But, you know, when it comes to finances, we do not have the endless, bottomless kettle in the Treasury. Okay, we have to have him come and explain to us, to the American public, why he supported this, why he kept dark for 90 days. That's 3 months while this thing was being put together. Can we do that? Do we know?
I think your points are well made, and I can't defend the action. I still love my friend, but I can't defend the action.
Yeah. So, Rick, I think I had asked you this once before, but I have a friend of mine here at the church that was in politics for a while, and he said politicians are compromisers. I mean, that's the nature of that business. And so he said it's hard to get behind even a conservative because you know he's going to be compromising. He can't come in. He can campaign on these strong morals and this is what I'm going to do. But then when he gets in there, he can't do anything unless he plays ball, so to speak. So how do you see that from Mike Johnson? Okay, you're the speaker, but you're not going to get anything done unless you bend on this point, that point, and the other point.
Well, the truth of the matter is politics is about compromise. I grew up with one goal in mind, even as a teenager. It was to get into national politics one day. I was on a direct route to law school and from there to run for office. I was president of the student body in high school, president of the student body in college. I was involved in politics until God just struck me one day. And it was over an incident, quite innocent, in which compromise was required. And I couldn't compromise because of my Christian values, and I got out of that whole strain and began pursuing ministry. So the truth of the matter is, it is about compromise, and God taught me that early in life through a very miserable and heartbreaking experience. We could talk about it another day. But at the same time, we out here sitting in our easy chairs with criticism, we've got to have, I think, grace toward these guys who are trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And The only defense I can offer for Mike is that he was doing this to get him through the next few months when this majority of Republicans in both the House and the Senate and the presidency were in place, where he could get real progress made on conserving values and conserving money. Because I don't think he went to Washington to create a bill like he just released. And yeah. I'm sure he's living in a lot of regret right now.
Yeah. Well, I think you bring up a good point, Rick, and we need to cut our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to cut them some slack. It's easy to armchair quarterback, but you know, when you're out there and you're the one and you're getting smeared and you're getting attacked and you're getting all the pressure, you know, it's not as easy as it looks. I think about that with our law enforcement officers when they make a mistake and it's plastered all over social media. It's like, well, then you go out there at 3 o'clock in the morning, you face that guy. You know, it's easy to say what you would do, but you're not in that position. And so we do need to be gracious with those people. And we need to be praying for guys like Mike Johnson and others who name the name of Christ, because they're on the front lines, and it is difficult. So I appreciate that. We have Jake on the line from Arkansas. Jake, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. But my comment is, you know, you were saying about Kamala Harris and everybody in the media saying that Joe Biden have his right mind. And I figured it out a long time ago that it is, if you put two crazy people together, they wouldn't know they was crazy. So that's the problem right there. They all don't have their right mind, so they can't tell.
That's funny. Rick, anything to say to that?
Yeah, absolutely nothing. I think this guy just nailed it. From the mouth of babes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that comment.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jake. Well, the bottom line is this. Kamala Harris is not, she's not mentally deficient, but she says whatever they tell her to say. And, you know, Rick, from this standpoint, you know, when I think about politics is like, you know, it's like a game. A bunch of these politicians are lawyers, and lawyers go to battle, so to speak, in the courtroom, and they're arguing a case, and then you could get hired by the other guy, and you know, okay, I'll argue your case. It's all perspective, and it's not necessarily about right and wrong. It's about trying to win my argument. And so what's Kamala Harris supposed to say? Well, yeah, the guy's out to lunch. I mean, she can't say that, but you know, if she doesn't, then we say, well, you're a liar, which is true. I don't know how a person would handle that. Do you have an idea?
Well, no, but it goes back to the scripture. One man presents his case, and he seems so right until you hear the other man present his case. Our whole legal system is set up on that biblical principle. And what the discerning Christian has to do is listen to both and have God give him enough wisdom to discern who's speaking the truth. And that's our only defense, is the empowerment of Holy Spirit to give us a spirit of discernment.
Right. And I think what you said, Rick, is really important. You know, when you were confronted with the compromise that you would have to do to be in politics, that was something that you couldn't do. And so for these guys mm-hmm. that are in that, called by God to be in that arena, they have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not everything is a hill worth dying on, but there are certain things that are hills worth dying on, and they need to be able to discern, you know, one from the other. Well, we have Charles on the line from Kentucky. Charles, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Mr. Scarborough. Thank you both for taking my call. I'll keep this brief. I'm having a debate with my family about this, and I'm at a bit of a crossroads involving my faith right now, and I'd like your perspective. I'm not talking about physically waking up every day and looking to try to find somebody to hurt. But here's my question, and maybe I'm just not using the appropriate word, but when you're confronted by evil people who are intent on committing evil acts against you, can a Christian be meaner than evil in order to stop evil and still be considered righteous in the eyes of Jesus Christ?
Good question. Rick, that would be, if I piggyback on that with Charles, that would be like, is it okay for a Christian to conspire to kill Hitler, as the deal was with what's his name? I've gone blank on his name, but the guy that they did a movie about him.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, that's a dilemma of all dilemmas. But the
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that was the name I was thinking of.
Yep. The in the final analysis, I think that there is a time when a man of God has to take a stand, and I don't think I agree with Dietrich Bonhoeffer in attempting to assassinate Hitler, but I think that the goal of getting Hitler out was absolutely pure. I don't condemn him for what he did, but I don't think that that's the way that God would have us go about our business. You can't do the wrong thing to get the right result. The example of Jesus, in order to correct the sin of the world, he didn't conquer the world, but he walked a righteous life and a servant's life and was allowed people to spit on him and curse him and beat him with a cat of nine tails and nailed him to a cross. But in so doing, God ultimately vindicated him, raised him from the dead, and gave all of us a free pass to go to heaven when we die if we follow Jesus. So I think, finally, I would have to come down on the side of saying, no, that's not one of the options we have. That's what makes it difficult. It means we have to plan harder, work harder, pray more, because they're not the easy way that the evil has. We have to do things right to get the righteous result.
Yeah, I think a good example of that, Rick, would be how David didn't take things into his own hands with Saul. You know, they wanted him to kill Saul. Hey, here he is in the cave. You can kill him. God's delivered you. But he wouldn't do that. He said, no, that's not right.
Right.
And so
That's a very good example.
Yeah, Charles, I think that would be the biblical response to that is to look to see how David responded to Saul. God's in control of those things, and we trust him. And, you know, you don't do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, we have one last time caller that we can take, Melanie from Tennessee. Melanie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I'm so humbled that I get to be in on this discussion with all this wisdom that I'm hearing. This is a really good day. I just want to say amen over Brother Scarborough's in prayer. Christians need to be in prayer. And it seems like when we say, well, all I can do is pray for you, that is the best thing we can do. And
correct.
It's hard. It's not easy. We think that we're only praying. It's not easy to pray, because spiritual warfare enters into our prayers. When you're in your prayer closet, the devil is there trying to, you know, lure you away and get you off of that prayer, because he knows how powerful prayer is.
Well, we have run out of time, but I appreciate that, Melanie. And Kenneth in Indiana, Scott in Mississippi, and Don in Virginia, I'm sorry we did not get to you. Thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for calling in. Rick, as always, thank you for being my guest today. You are a blessing, my friend.
Thank you. My joy.
Thank you. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Christmas time is a great time to tell people about Jesus. He is the reason for the season, and we get to extol him and tell people about him. He is God's Son and our only Savior. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
The climax of the book of Exodus, the Creator God came to dwell with his people. You can't approach the holiness of God however you want. Jesus understood this when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Friends of Israel, bringing biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah. Saturdays, 2 p.m. Central on AFR.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American